service.
So we're on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Let's see if we can find the place.
I'm going to miss here tomorrow morning, just to remind
you. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Omar Shmuel. Yeah. So we're pretty much towards the top of the page.
Yeah,
Omar Shmuel. Omar about 10 lines down from the top.
Mm-hmm. Omar Shmuel Gidi.
Yeah. So just by way of introduction, very quickly, the Torah repeats three times, O Sevashel Gidi Bachalevi Mo, twice in Shmos, in Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kitisa, and once in Re'eh in Sefer Dvarim. Lo Sevashel Gidi Bachalev Imo. The Gemara is going to actually derive six different drashos from the repetition of Lo Sevashel three times. And the reason for that is because we're going to darshan the word Gidi, and that's going to include different types of basar that we wouldn't have thought were included under the Iser of Lo Sevashel. And the Lo Sevashel is repeated three times, and that's going to also give us three different Yalfusas. So we have all told six Yalfusas. Six drushas, three from the Gidi and three from Bachalev Imo. And Shmuel is now coming to explain how he darshins from these Yitura Dekra, from these extra repetitious psukim. So Omar Shmuel, so we start from the word Gidi, and the Torah repeats the word Gidi three times. The three different ribuyim. The first one is Gidi l'rabos es ha-chelev. So chelev behema is asur, and it's a very severe isur, it's an isur kares. And now he takes the chelev and he cooks it with milk, with cholov. So you have chelev with the tzere and cholov with the kamatz. Then he eats it. Now, according to Shmuel, in such a case, and we'll see this in Rashi, he violates two different Isurim. And he would even get two sets of Malkus, assuming there was a double Asra, one Asra for Chelev and another separate Asra for Basar B'Cholov. So let's take a look at Rashi. It's about eight lines down from the top. L'Rabos is a Chelev. Shin bishel chelev becholav the achlo over mishum chelev umishum basar becholav. And this is a big chiddush that by eating chelev that was cooked with cholav, he violates both the iser chelev achilas chelev and the iser achilas basar becholav, because we normally have a rule throughout Shas, which is called Ein Iser Chalal Iser, that when you have something that's Asur, you cannot superimpose upon it a second Iser. Even if the two Isurim are different Isurim, but rather the first Iser is Chal, and the second Iser is not Chal. Here, though, says Shmuel, the exception to the rule is because of the extra word Gidi, which is teaching us that the exception to the rule of Ein Iser Chal Iser, the case in which Iser is Chalal Iser, is the case of Gidi, which means that the Lo Sevashel Gidi, with all its implications, is going to be Chal on top of the Iser Chelev. So he's going to get Malkus not only because of Chelev, which was the first Iser that was Chal, but even after he cooks it with Chalav for the Iser of Basar B'Cholov. So he gets two sets of Malkus. Again, he's going to need two Asros. He'll need one Asra for Achilas Chelev and another Asra for Basar B'Cholov. And if he gets both these Asros, he can get two sets of Malkus. That's ouch. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's going to be Iser Chal Iser. In this exceptional case, of basa b'chalv, where the Torah says that the isur basa b'chalv could be chal even on top of the isur chalev.
Well, I see the Gemara goes after that a little bit later. Isur chalav, isur for Shmuel.
Yeah. Right. So we'll get to that in Mirsa Shem. I'm just going through it line by line. Now, this principle called ein isur chalav isur sometimes means that the second Isur, although it is Chal, but it doesn't generate any punishments. So for example, the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos says that even in a case of Ein Isur Chal Isur, he would be liable, Klapi Shamayim, for violating two different Isurim. And the Gemara says, Nafkamina L'Kovro Ben Rishayim Gemuru. They've had different sections in the cemetery, depending upon how bad of a Rasha you were. So if you were a really bad Rasha, then they had a special section for you. So here, because he violates two Isurim, he'll be, but as far as Beis Din is concerned, and the punishment of Malkus meted out by the court, that can only, with this exception, with the exception of this case, you could only get one set of Malkus, even though he violates two Isurim. Now, sometimes the second Isur is what's called an Isur Mosif, and it expands the first Isur. In such cases, we say Isur Chalal Isur. But here, in this case, there's no Isur Mosif. In fact, the Isur Chalev, in a certain sense, is much more severe than the Isur Basa B'Cholav, because Chalev incurs a Chiv Karis, whereas Basa B'Cholav is only a Chiv Lav, a Chiv Malkus. So normally, basa b'chalav, based on the rule of Eni Sechalisa, would not be chal to generate a second punishment of Malkus on top of Chalev, but the exception to the rule, according to Shmuel, is derived from the extra Gedi, that here in this case we're going to say that Isur is chal al Isur. Now, if we take a look at the second Yitur Dekra, the second Ribui of Shmuel, from the second Gedi, we're going to again see that the principle of Ein Isur Chalal Isur is suspended with regard to Basa B'Cholav. Gidi l'rabos es hamesa, which means that the meat of an animal that died, it died without Shechita, which is called what? Nevela. The meat of Nevela is asur b'achila, and it generates a chiyuv malchus. Now he took this Nevela and he cooked it with milk. Then now he's going to violate not only the Isur Nevela, but on top to boot, he'll violate the Isur Basa B'Cholav. And he'll get two sets of Malkus if there were two Asros. He's going to get one set of Malkus for violating the Isur Achilas Nevela, and a second for violating the Isur of Achilas Basa B'Cholav. So let's take a look again at Rashi, which is approximately 10 lines down from the page, a drop more. Es HaMesa Shem Bishel Basar Nevela. Again, we have to always keep in mind that basa nevela means that the animal per se is a kosher species.
Right.
Because when it comes to behemoth tmeya, a non-kosher animal, we're going to exclude a non-kosher animal from the isur basa b'cholav. And that we already had in our Mishnah in the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva excluded a behemoth tmeya. But nevela comes from a behemoth tahora. The animal died without Shechita, and it's also the Isur Nevela. And Isur Nevela is an Isur Lav with a Chi of Malkus. It's only an Isur Achila. It's not like Basa B'Cholav, which has additional Isurim. Here it's an Isur Achila. And now he took the Basa, the Nevela, and he cooked it with milk via Ochlo, and he ate it. Now Rashi says, over Mishum Basar B'Cholav. Now that's a little bit tricky, that Rashi. It sounds like Rashi is saying that he violates only the Isur Basa B'Cholav. But that's not true. What Rashi means to say that in addition to the Isur Nevela, the Chiddush is that he also violates Basa B'Cholav. Now in my Gemara, every edition is a little bit different. I have something called Hagos V'Tziyunim. And they quote different Nuschos, different texts. So in their text of Rashi, which is recorded here on the bottom right of my page, it should say Mishum Nevela U Mishum Basa B'Cholav. That's the way they have the Rashi, and you'll find this also in a book called the Duke Sofrim. And that makes Rashi a lot smoother. But again, I would still interpret the Rashi that way, even as we have it in the text, without changing the text. It's Mishum Nevela U'Mishum Basu B'Cholav. And he gets two sets of Malchus. So Rashi says, V'Afal Gav Debi Alma, as a general rule in Shas, we always say with regard to Ol Isurim, Ein Isur Chal Isur. Kan, V'Kan, and here also, Hare Kodmo Isur Chela V'Isur Nevela, L'Isur Basu B'Cholav. And therefore, applying the universal rule of Isur that came, the first Isur that came is the one that's Chal and not the second Isur, because we don't topple, we don't graft the second Isur on top of the first. Also, Kravira Binhu. But the Pasuk here came as a Ribui. Now, the impression you get is that there are two different Ribuyim. One is Gidi for the case of Chalev, where he cooks Chalev with Basa. The other is Gidi for the case of Nevela, where he cooks the Nevela with Basa B'Cholav. And you might ask, why do we need two Ribuyim to teach me the exact same principle, that with regard to Basa B'Cholav, the Isur Basa B'Cholav, as an exception to the rule, is Chal even on the Isur that was Kadmolo, the previous Isur, whether it be Chalev or whether it be Nevela. But I think there are two ways of answering that question. It could be either that Shmuel is really deriving both of these from one pasuk, because again, we need Gedi for the pasuk itself, that's for the Mashmol Sakra, and then we have an extra Gedi the second time around. Shmuel's just fleshing it out that there are two Nafgiminis here, two Isur Chal al Isur as the exception to the rule. One is with regard to Chalim, one with regard to Nevel. The other way of going is that you might have said that maybe Basa B'Cholav is Chal on Chalev, and the Torah is going to be very Machmir in this case, because in Chalev the Torah is Machmir, but maybe in the case of Nevel, which is a less severe Isur, maybe the Torah wouldn't be so Machmir to impose upon him, superimpose another Isur, namely Basa B'Cholav, and generate two sets of Malchus. Now we have the third Gidi. Says Shmuel, the third Gidi is L'Rabos Es HaShlil. So he took the Shlil, we'll try to understand what the Shlil is, and he cooked it with milk. And the Shlil, the Torah is coming to tell us, has a din of Basar, and it's no different than the Behemah itself. Just like if you take the Basar Behemah and you cook it with milk, you're over the Isur of Dolsevashel Gedi, so too, if you took the Shilya and you cooked it with milk, you violate this Isur Losevashel Gedi. Now the Shilya is what's called in Hebrew an Ubar, with an Ayin. An Ubar is an embryo or a fetus that's in its mother's womb, and he shechted the Behemah. So inside the main Behemah we find an ubar, which is called a shlil. It has not yet completely matured, but it still is basar. Now, of course, we'd have to study in great detail, based on Mishnayos and Zvachim and elsewhere, exactly at what stage in the development of the fetus is it considered a piece of basar. In other words, it's not just just a mush, if you will. It's not just Maya Ba'alma. But in our case of Shmuel, this Shilya, this Uba, reached that stage. It wasn't complete yet. If it was complete, then we might have a din of Ben Pekua, which is again not relevant to us per se. But the bottom line is that this Ubar, because it reached a certain stage of Briyaso, therefore it has the status of Basar. And now he cooks the fetus, its flesh, with chalav, and he eats it. And in such a case, he violates the Isur of Basa B'Cholav. That means he violates the Isur of Basa B'Cholav for both Bishul and Achila. Now, in the previous two cases of Chalev and Nevela, we didn't mention anything about Bishul. Why? Because the principle Ein Isur Chal al Isur, it's relevant to the cases of Chalev and Nevela, only is relevant to the discussion about achila. You already had an isur achila in chelev that preceded the isur bas v'chav. You already had an isur achila in avela that preceded the isur bas v'chav. So now we want to know, can we superimpose a second isur achila on the first isur achila? As far as bishul is concerned, the Torah never prohibited cooking chelev nor cooking avela. So as far as the Isur Bishul is concerned, if he takes Chelev or if he takes Nevela, we don't need a special pasuk to teach me that he's Chayev for Bishul when he cooks these with Chol, because there was never an Isur that preceded it as far as Bishul is concerned. In the third case, and that's the case of Shlil, where the Torah is upgrading the status of Shlil to Basar, as if it were a full-fledged behemosh enigma of Briyasa that was ready to stand on 4 feet. Here the Torah is being mechadish a double chidush. Number one, that you'll be chayav for achila if you cook it with milk. And number two, that you're chayav for the bishul itself. I mean, that is a chidush. So again, what we see here in Rashi clearly is that both in the cases of chelev and nevela, we need a ribui to teach you that you're over on achila. And the reason for that is because eini sochal lisa. We do not need a ribui to teach you that you chayav for bishul, because in the case of bishul, there was never an isa to begin with. Now again, later on, we're going to have a sugya, a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi about mevashel chelev b'chelev and exactly how many lavim he would be over if he not only cooked chelev with cholov, but he also ate the mixture. So that we'll get to a little bit later. So let's see where we're up to now. Oh, now if you remember, we had 6 different Yitura Dekra, 6 different extra psukim. We've already covered 3 out of the 6. Now we have to cover the other 3, the balance of the 3. And that's going to be what we call mi'utim. Until now, we had what's called ribuyim. So we included chelev, we included nevela, we included the case of the shlil. And now we're going to have 3 mi'utim. And the Torah is going to exclude 3 categories as far as the Isur Basa B'Cholov is concerned. Now, before we get to these 3 categories, let's mention the following. That the Gemara later on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, is going to establish that the shlil, which is the fetus in the behemoth's womb, is obviously included under Gedi. And Tosus wants to know, why does Shmuel feel that he needs a separate ribui of Gedi to include the shlil, the embryo? And Tosus answers a few things. First of all, he says that there are different stages in the development of the shlil, and only at one stage is it included under Gedi, meaning it's called a behema, it's already nigmar briyaso. Or at an earlier stage, that would not be called a Gedi. But furthermore, Tosis says that in the case of shlil, if this embryo reached the 8th month since its conception, then it also has an Isur Chelev. And that's derived from a pasuk in Vayikra Zayin. It says, Kol Chelev Shar V'Keves V'Ezev Lo Tochlu. And the extra word Kol is going to include the Shlil, in addition to Shar Kesev V'Ez, which are written explicitly, but the fetus in its mother's embryo is going to be included under Kol Chelev. Now, the question here is, what would be the status of the Chelev of the Shlil as far as Basa B'Cholav is concerned. So that's going to be the subject of Tosfos. The Chelev Shel Shlil, in the case of a Shlil that's past its eighth month. But let's go back now to our Sugya. Gidi, number one, Lahotzi Es Adam. So let's say you take the dung of an animal and you cook it with chalav, with milk, and he eats it. Would he violate basa b'chalav? And the answer is no. Why? Because dam is excluded. It's not considered basa. Number two, gdi lahotzi es hashilya. The shilya is the placenta. The shilya is that covering over the fetus. It's otef es havlat. While the uterus, while the fetus is in its mother's womb, there's a sac that covers and surrounds the fetus, and that's not considered basar. And finally, gedi lahotzias atmeya, that if he takes a behemah tmeya, a non-kosher animal, and he cooks it with milk that from a kosher animal, he will not violate the Iser of Basa B'Cholav. And this has nothing to do with Ein Iser Chalal Iser. What do I mean? It's not because you already have an Iser of Behemah Tmeya, right? You can't eat this Basa because it comes from a non-kosher species, and therefore you cannot add another Iser on top of it. But rather, the Torah is defining which species is considered meat as far as Gedi is concerned. So we have an expansion of Gedi, and how far do we expand Gedi? And there are a number of issues that have to be addressed. Number one, could we expand Gedi to all behemoths? Number two, when we say all behemoths, do we include even a behemoth tmeya, non-kosher species? Number three, what about a chaya, which is not a behemoth? Number four, what about an oaf? So you may recall, that was yesterday, that we mentioned Rabbi Akiva's sheet in our Mishnah, that he excludes Chaya, Oaf, and Behemah Tmeh. But on the other hand, he includes all Behemos Ksheros, all Behemos Tahora. So if you have a Behemah Tahora, and you take the meat of such an animal and you cook it with milk, and then you eat it, you violate the Iser Basa B'Chola. However, if you take the flesh of a non-kosher animal and you cook it with milk, you do not violate the Iser of Basa B'Cholav. Now, obviously, you're going to be chayav for eating behemah tmeya, but you won't be chayav in addition for the violation of Basa B'Cholav. And this, again, as I said before, has nothing to do with Ein Iser Chalal Iser, because now what we're doing is we're defining what is basar. When the Torah says gedi, what's included under gedi? Now, if you notice, Shmuel has three exclusions from Gedi. One is Dam, one is Shilya, and the third is Behemoth Man. What does Shmuel think about Oaf and Chaya? Because Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah had a special meal to exclude Chaya, to exclude Oaf. Does Shmuel accept that Shita? Well, according to the Shita of Tosfos here, Shmuel really belongs to the school of thought of the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim in our Mishnah disagree with Rabbi Akiva as far as Chayav Yov, and they maintain the Chayav Yov Adoraisa. Everybody excludes Behemah Tmeya, but there's Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim about Chayav Yov. And Tosus wants to identify Shmuel with the Shita of the Chachamim, the Chayav Yov are also Midoraisa in Basa B'Chol, because Shmuel used Gedi to exclude Dam and Shilya, but he needed an exclusion of Gedi for Tmeya. He never used the exclusion of Gedi for Chayav Yov. And therefore, Tosfos' maskana is that Chayav Yov, according to Shmuel, is Doraisa. Now, you and I may think what difference it makes, but it makes a great deal of difference. Because if Shmuel accepts the Shita that Chayav Yov is Doraisa, then it could very well be that we have to paskin like Shmuel. And Tosfos earlier in this perek, which we had a great deal of study about that Tosfos in the Iyun Shiurim, Tosfos seems to indicate that we do paskin in the case of Basar Oaf, Becholov, that it's Doraisa. almost all the Rishonim assume that no, that Basar Ov Becholim is only Derabbanan, and that's the Rambam Pshita as well. But if you identify Shmuel here in our sugya with the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, because Shmuel doesn't have a special miut for Chaya and Ov, he uses this miut for Beimet Mei, etc., etc., then once you identify Shmuel with the Chachamim, you're much more likely to passing like the Chachamim with regard to Chaya v'Ov, that's an Isur Basar B'Cholim Doraisa. However, in the footnote here in the Masifta, he quotes a Ramban at the end of this perek, and the Ramban holds that Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva, and he holds that there's a miut to exclude Chaya v'Ov. Why did Shmuel omit mention of Chaya v'Ov? It only says the Ramban because Shmuel wanted to square with the Chachamim, meaning he wanted to know his answer. His question was, how would the Chachamim explain the three Gedis? What do we exclude from the three-time Gedi? Rabbi Akiva in that mission already explained that we need one Gedi to exclude Chaya, another to exclude Of, and a third to exclude Behemet Meir. Everybody agrees that we're going to exclude Behemet Meir, but for that we only need one Gedi. So Shmuel was asking the question, what do we do with the other two times that it says Gedi? What are we excluding according to the Chachamim? And the answer is, we have an exclusion of Dam and an exclusion of Shilya. But Shmuel himself, according to the Ramban, accepts the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And again, the Ramban has a major proof for this, that Basar Of is Derabbanan. Now, if you hold like the Ramban, that Shmuel accepted the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Of and Basar Chai is Derabbanan, then we have a lot more of an impetus to paskin that Basar Of is only Derabbanan, which is in fact the Shita of most Rishonim, including, as I said before, the Rambam. Okay, now let's talk about something else here. The Pasuk says, Lo Sevashel Gedi Bechalev Imo. Now, generally speaking, in nature, only a female animal has milk, but there are apparently freaks of nature. What do we call them? What's the word with an M? Mutation? There are mutations. And the question is, if let's say there was a mutation and you could get milk from a male animal, what would be the status of that milk? Is it included under this Isur of Chala? So the Gemara says the following. It says, Chalev Imo. Imo is a reference to an akeva, to a female animal, to the exclusion of lo b'chalev zachar. So let's say, for example, you had a goat that is a male goat, in Hebrew it's called an aes, and it would somehow give milk. That milk would not be included under the Isur of Basar B'chola because it's not chalev imo. And Rashi here, when he talks about this mutation, he says, "V'lo b'chalev zachar shahoyelo chalav mu'at min hadadim." That somehow the dadim, the breasts, so to speak, of this male animal, were different. They, you know, usually a male dadim are not able to produce milk. But Rashi says, "Nishtana v'hoyelo dadim." So again, you know, you can, if somebody has a chance to Google this and see if there's such a, you know, in the biology of goats, if such a phenomenon ever existed in nature, I don't know. But in any event, the halacha takes into consideration every possibility. And Rashi explains that there was an animal that had a shinui, it was a male animal that had that dim, and you got a little bit of milk out of it. Now, Rabbeinu Gershom, who was before Rashi, if you take a look, he says, "V'lo v'chalev." He says, "Kache idu l'fanenu shero chalav zachar." He says that there were scientists who testified in his presence that they actually saw milk from a male animal. Now, if you'll find in Google that this doesn't exist, you're going to have to take Rabbeinu Gershom up. I'm not so bothered about Rashi. You know, Rashi says that there could be theoretically such a phenomenon, but Rabbeinu Gershom said that they testified that they saw such a phenomenon. The Meiri, who is also one of the Rishonim, a little bit later on, he says, "Kfar ra'inu mehem be'einenu." that we've already seen with our eyes a male animal that had milk. Fine. So what's the status of Chalav Zachar? So for sure, it would not be included under the Doraisa of Bishul Basar B'Chalav. But there's going to be a long discussion amongst Achronim and the Poskim, again, about this phenomenon that seems very rare. Would there be an Issur D'Rabbanan with regard to this milk? And this reminds us very much of our discussion once about Chalav Shkevim. Do you remember that you can get milk that looks like milk, but it's not really milk, and the Rabbanan don't want you to use it because you're going to confuse it with milk? Now, what else comes under this exclusion of Chalev Imo? So first we excluded Zohar. Then he says Chalev Imo, which means that the mother is alive. Velo bechalev shchuta. In other words, when did we take the milk out of the animal, the female animal? There are two possibilities. We could have removed the milk through the milking process while the animal was alive. And that's called Chalev Imo. Or, after we shechted the animal, we open the animal and we find in its inside that there's a sack of milk. And that milk is identical biologically to the milk that came out during the life of the animal. But now we're saying that you would not violate the Isur Basar B'Chalav with Chalev Shchuta if you remove the Chalav after the Shchita, because that's not called Chalav Em. Chalav Em means the Chalav and the Em is alive. Which is really interesting. I think in the past we've mentioned this before, that the Torah seems to identify motherhood, in this case of an animal at least, by a live mother. And the reason I mentioned this to you is because there's a Rashi in Megillah with regard to Esther, and in his commentary on Megillah, Rashi says on the pasuk Ein la av v'aim, I don't remember exactly the nusach pasuk. Rashi says that the mother died at childbirth, which means that when Esther was born, she had no mother. And then it says that Mordechai took her as adopted her. So the Medayik there in Rashi, the Rashi seems to indicate that since Esther's mother died at childbirth, she's not considered a mother. Ein la em, it says in the pasuk. Rashi says she has no mother. Esther has no mother. What do you mean she has no mother? She had a mother, but the mother died at childbirth, so there was never a second in time when the mother was alive and Esther was born. During the process of childbirth, the mother died. So this is interesting because it has tremendous implications as far as motherhood is concerned, that motherhood requires that you give birth to the child, but not only that, you have to be alive at the time that you give birth to the child. And it's a possibility that a mother could give birth to a child and yet she's not called a mother, according to Allah. So that's a discussion if you're interested about what's called surrogate motherhood, that there could be a mother other than the birth mother. But in our case, we're saying that the chalav of the shchuta, that the milk was removed after the shchita, that's not called chalav. Again, biologically, if you sent it to a laboratory test, you'd find it's exactly identical with any chalav, with chalav of an imam. But nevertheless, the Torah excludes it. So what we call chalav is not necessarily what the Torah calls chalav. Now, you may remember that we had a sugya earlier on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph that chalav shchuta is asur min rabbanan. And we may be able to make an equation between Chalav Zachar and Chalav Shchuta. Why? Because in both cases, we exclude it from the same pasuk. But some want to say that no, that Chalav Shchuta is really Chalav, and there would have been a shame of Chalav had we removed this Chalav before the Shchita. But in the case of Chalav Zachar, even if you would remove the Chalav, which is exactly our case, before the Shchita, it would still not become, it would still not Chalav, and maybe therefore it's excluded from the status of Chalav, even on a Derabbanan level. Now we have a third exclusion from Chalev Imo, Velo b'Chalev Tmeah. So let's say you remove the milk from a pig, right? You have pig's milk, and you would cook meat with pig's milk. You would cook kosher meat, I meant to say, with pig's milk. You would not be in violation of basar b'chol. Again, you'd be chayav for drinking chalav of tmeah, because yotzim and osar osar. But you would not be in violation of basar b'chol, because that's not called chalev imo. The chalev imo means that the chalav comes from a min that would be osur under basar b'chol. And since we've already excluded basar tmeah, then the chalev imo would not be the chalav of a basar, which would be included in the isur basar b'chol. Now, it's very interesting because when a person, let's say an Orthodox Jew would sign up for a course in cooking or to become a chef. So we mentioned this yesterday. You know, in chef school, I never went to chef school, but what I'm told is that you very often are responsible for cooking something and you have to turn on the fire. Now, turning on the fire itself, you might say is neutral, it's parva, but no, because the Torah says, Los Vashel Gedima Chalev Imo. So imagine if they were asking you within the context of this course to turn on the fire on the basar b'chol. There's both meat and milk inside the pot. So you could get away with it, perhaps, in one of the following two scenarios: if the milk itself is not kosher or the meat is not kosher. Now, when I say the meat is not kosher, I mean it's a non-kosher species. So if you're cooking Elmhurst milk, which is cow's milk with bacon, you would not be in violation of basar b'chalav. And in the reverse case, let's say you had pig's milk and you were cooking it with kosher meat, then you would not be in violation of bishul. But keep in mind, this has nothing to do with nevela. You know, some people might think, well, all the meat that's in the chef school is all nevela, none of it is geshachta of meat. But that's irrelevant, because basar nevela is included in the iser of bishul basar b'chol. It's only if the species itself is a basar tmeah, is behemah tmeah, then it's excluded. But the truth is, Rabos, I have to tell you that there's much more common problem in cooking in a chef school. Why? Because of the bliya in the kelim. And now we get into a whole issue of whether or not you apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela basar b'chol in a kelim. So you have a utensil that was used for both meat and milk. And it's fair to assume that in the chef school they did not kasher their kelim. So they have kelim that have both a bliya of basar and cholav in them. And then the question is, when the tam of the basar and the tam of the chalav go from the kelim into the food, and you're now cooking the food, is that included under the isur bishul? So two ways of going here. One way is to say the isur bishul only applies to what's called be'en. If you have a physical, tangible piece of meat and tangible milk, then when you cook them together, you violate bishul. But other poskim say no, that we paskin tam ki ikar, and when the tam of the basar goes out of the kli, and the tam of the chol goes out of the kli, when you cook those two together in the tavshil, even though the tavshil might be made of macaroni, nevertheless you're in violation of cooking basar b'chol. So, and some poskim say it's the rabbos.
So if you had a kli that was somebody had cooked basar b'chol in that kli. Now, just by putting water in that kli and warming it up,
you might at least on a drabbana level. I mean, it depends on how you understand bishul and tamkikar, but I'm just throwing it out there, you know. So now the Gemara has a problem. Hatlasa gedi ksive. The Torah repeats the word gedi three times. Vanan shita darshinan. Now we end up with six drushas. Let's go over the six drushas. We have one drasha for chelev, another drasha for nevela, we have a third drasha for behemah tmeah, we have a fourth drasha for dam, a fifth drasha for shilya, and a sixth drasha for shalil. So how can we derive six derivations from three psukim? It's a very interesting question. So the Gemara gives the following answer. That Shmuel really derives only three dinim from these drushas. Why? Because Savar Shmuel Iser Chalal Iser. Now, although the Gemara in many places in Shas says Ein Iser Chalal Iser, but there's one Madi Omar who holds Iser Chalal Iser. and the second Isur is Chal on top of the first Isur. If that be the case, if a person violates two Isurim, one Isur is Chal at time T1, the second at time T2, he gets two sets of Malkus. And what that means, therefore, is that Shmuel does not need a ribui for the case of chelev or nevela that were cooked with chalav, because for sure he's going to violate two isurim and get two sets of malchus for both these cases of chelev and chalav, because isur chalal isur. So he doesn't need a separate drasha for chelev and for nevela if he holds isur chalal isur. Again, we're still not in the clear, because again, we want to jack up the number to 6, and therefore we have to diminish it, lower it down to 3, because there are only 3 psukim, so we can diminish it by 2, but we still have 4 derivations from 3 psukim. But the Gemara adds the following line: Ve'isur chelev umesa mechad kra nafke. Now this is a pellet. The Gemara is now saying that we can only reduce it by 1. Why? We're going to collapse chelev and mesa means the vela, into one limud, one ribui. So what, all we need is one pasuk, according to Shmuel, to include these two. Now, why do we need two psukim? Well, excuse me, why do we need one pasuk to include both chelev and nevela if Isur is chal al Isur? What does Gemara have in mind over here? I'm going to read to you a few lines here in the note, and we'll see if we can make some sense out of this. He says, "Mi divrei Gemara mashma shel mole savar Shmuel she Isur chal al Isur lo hayachal Isur basu b'chalav al Isur chelev u'mesa." In other words, if we would apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal al Isur, then we would not know that you violate Basa B'Cholav in the case of Chelev and Nevela. And this is against L'chora the Rambam, because the Rambam says in Perek Yud Zayim Ilchus Isuri Bia, Klal hu b'kol ha'isurim Shabbatora, She'ein Isur Chal Isur, Elim Kein. And here the Rambam's exceptions, he's got 3 exceptions. Number 1, Hayushnei ha'isurim boim bevasachas, if both isurim bichal simultaneously, that's not relevant to our sugya. Oh, his second exception to the rule is Hayah isur ha'echad mosif dvarim acherim al ha'isur rishon. That's called an isur mosif, that the second isur expands the scope of the first isur. And the third is Oshaya Kolel Dvarim Acherim, or includes objects that weren't included in the first Isur. Now, let's take the case of Basar Becholav with regard to Chelev and Nevela. L'chora, he says that if there's an Isur Mosif which adds something that didn't exist in the first Isur, or if there's an Isur Kolel that adds objects to the first Isur. So for example, on Yom Kippur, he adds an Isur that includes everything on top of whatever was also, had it not been Yom Kippur. That's called an Isur Kolel. So he says, Cholav Meis, Chelev and Nevela, when he cooks them with Cholav, forget about Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Why? Because the chelev and the nevela are only isuri achila. Basa b'cholav is also asur b'hana, which makes it into an isur mosif. You're expanding the scope of the isur to include even hana. So for example, if I have chelev or nevela, I can feed it to my dog. But if I have basa b'cholav, I can't feed it to my dog. So this is called the Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam. It's one of the most famous Rambams in all of his writings, in Halacha, I mean. And it's in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the third Perek of Krisus. And the Rambam says that the Isur Hanah is not an Isur Mosif, Because basically the Isra Anoa is an Isra Achila. When the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, it means the Torah is putting the primary emphasis on one particular form of Hanoah. But that particular form of Hanoah, which is called Achila, is representative of the entire category called Hanoah. And again, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of literature on this Rambam, what he means by saying that the Isra Hanoah is not an Isra Mosif, because basically the Isra Achila itself is just one example of the Isra Hanoah. Now then we mentioned, what about an Isra Kolel? Like we said that Yom Kippur is Kolel much more than whatever was also before Yom Kippur. Here also, in the case of Basar B'Cholav, what we have is the following. He says, L'chora, Basar B'Cholav is an Isra Kolel, Shekein Rak HaBasar Hoya Asur B'Isra Chelev U'Mesa, V'Ilu HaCholav Hoya Mutar. So let's say you cook chalev or the vela with chalev. What you add now is an isa on the chalev itself. Because the isa chalev, the isa of the vela, does not include milk. So as a result of this bishul, he now generates a whole new isa of both basar and chalev. So once there's a chalos isa on the chalev, then it becomes an isa kolel. And on this he quotes Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Are you all familiar with Rabbi Elchanan? Rabbi Elchanan says the following, that the Iser Basa B'Cholav is one Iser that's made up of a combination of milk and meat. So you took, for example, a Kizayis of Basa, you took a Kizayis of Cholav, and you cook them together. Once they fall into, let's say, another pot of food, then all you need for Bittel is 60 Zaysen. We're not going to say that you need 60 times 2 zaysin, because it was one zayis of basar, one zayis of cholov. Okay? He says, V'yakach naflu shneim l'toch shishim kezaysim shal hether. I'm sorry. He vacillates back and forth here on this point. His final maskana, my mistake, is that it's not enough to have shishim against one kezayis, that means shishim kezaysim. But he says, "Akedera asura achi shishim keneged shnei akizaisim." Dainu mei v'yesrim. You're going to need 120. V'yafal gav delo murgash lo tam cholov lo tam basar. But nevertheless, iser basar b'cholov hu hatam achodesh amurkav mi basar b'cholov. So the iser basar b'cholov is the combo of basar and cholov. Ukshe ein chal iser al habasar, ein chal iser al hacholov. In other words, once I would apply the ein iser chal iser with regard to basar, because it was already also b'toras chalev and avela, then this would not be basar b'cholov. So we wouldn't say that there would still be an iser that would be chal on the cholov, because once we neutralize the iser with regard to the basar, then the mela, there's no iser on the cholov. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Kasavar Shmuel Iser Chalal Iser." Shmuel holds that Iser Chalal Iser. So let's take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Isur, which is approximately halfway through the page, and he writes, "Anisha Mati de Garcinan Le." In other words, apparently there were two texts in the Gemara, and Rashi says we should accept this text as we have it. Iser chalal iser v'hochi perusho. Iser chalal iser v'lo itzter kra lo lecholov v'lo lemesa. Now, if I read this Rashi correctly, and we'll see the next Rashi if it bears me out, he doesn't need a pasuk neither for cholov. I'm sorry, for chalev, nor for nevela. But yet the Gemara says iser chalav u'mesa mechad kra nafki. Says Rashi, Mechad Kro Klomar, Mehahu Kro Di Asa Legufe Nafke. In other words, you need one pasuk for itself to teach you the Iser of Basar B'Cholav. That's not a Yitur of the Kro, that's not an extra pasuk. And in that pasuk Legufe, which I need for itself, we're going to derive chelev or nevela. And they are included. And the reason why they are included is because Shmuel holds Isur Chalal Isur. So that's what the Gemara means when it says Michadkar Nafke. The Michadkar Nafke means that if we have six times, if the Torah would say three times Gidi, let's say one of those three times, I need for what he calls legufe. Gufe means for in and of itself, to teach you that Basav Chalav is awesome. And Gufe includes even Chalev and Nevela. Okay, now we have another Pasuk Gidi. And the question is, do we need Gidi to exclude Dam? So the Gemara wants to say, no, I don't need Gidi to exclude Dam. Because Dam Nami, Lav Gidihu. I don't know what the word Nami, Dikduke Sofri says you take out the word Nami. Tosus also doesn't have the word Nami. So if you take out the word Nami, then Dam Lav Gidihu. Dam is not called Basar. Gidi means Basar. And Dam is not considered Basar. He said, Mela, I don't need a drasha to exclude Dam, because Dam was never included to begin with. Shilya Nami. And even the placenta that surrounds the fetus, that also doesn't need a pasuk. Pirsha bi'almahu. It's only a frasha. It's some sort of a, like a secretion. It's some sort of a separate entity. But it's not part of the animal. And it's not included under the Isur Gidi. Oh, so then, pashu lehu tre. So now all we need is two extra gedis. Why? Because one gedi we need legufe, and that's going to include chelev and nevela. It's going to exclude dam and shilya. But now I need two other gedis. Chad lerabos es hashlil, v'chad lemeute behema tmeya. One to include the shlil. That means that the fetus has developed up to that point in which it's considered a, so to speak, a viable being, and its basar is called basar. And I need a ribui for that, because if it's young, then it's not considered basar. V'chad lemu'utei behema tmeya. And now I need one gidi to exclude behema tmeya. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. And what's your schedule again? I forgot.
So tomorrow I'm going to try and be here, but then
tomorrow you're going to be
Wednesday, Thursday, no.
Okay, anybody else going to be here tomorrow? You're not going to be here tomorrow, John? Oh, she'll be here, so we'll leave her tomorrow. Okay, then? We'll stop here. So now.